Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Dort Podcast with Rich Keefe. It's the Dort Podcast.
Ryan Davis.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Well, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. It is summer, Davey. He is on location for this one tonight. And Ryan, let me ask you a simple question.
Let's see if these moves fuck.
Let's see if these
I am coming to you from lovely Harrison, Maine.
Wow.
Oh, you're stepping on it. Sorry.
That's out there, huh? Where is that? It's up there. Great North.
It's up by Bridgeton, past Portland. So I'm a little I'm in the Maine right now, but up to Maine, as they say here. You know,
up Maine.
I'm sorry for stepping on my introduction. We are going to run into a bevy issues, I feel like.
Yeah, there is. Listen, we're going to do the best we can with what we have.
We got a
nice film to discuss, the topic du jour, which we will get to in just a moment.
You son of a bitch.
That's right. We're going to get there. Ryan. But first, it's a jam-packed episode. All kinds of stuff has happened since the last week that we spoke. So let's hit this.
This week in Dort.
Yeah! How about the Batgirl nonsense? This was a movie that was going to come out on HBO Max. It's going to be a part of the DCEU after some test screenings. So, like, this is no longer a movie that we are going to release. What the fuck?
So we're just going to put $90 million on a pile and just burn it.
Is correct, like the Dark Knight.
Yep. Right. Yep, like in the Dark Knight. So
I don't get this. I would get this at all. I mean, I guess I kind of get it. I think it has something to do with like tax write-offs or whatever the shit, like if it's never even released. But the headline that I saw was Batgirl will not be released in theaters or streaming. And I was like, that's just not being released at all then, is really what you're saying.
So you got Michael Keaton out of bed for this movie for I don't know how much. Mm-hmm. Right, to play Batman again, and then you're just like, no, we're just not doing this now.
How bad could it have been?
I don't think it's that bad. I think it has to do with it. Now, I was talking about this the other day. So does it go back to the whole Ezra Miller thing? Like, he's in so much trouble that like this Flashpoint movie isn't going to work. We're not going to do anything more with him, so we got to dump everything else.
I wonder if they. But that movie is still apparently going to be June of 23, I guess. But they're like,
Got arrested.
He did in Vermont.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they saw Comic-Con and Marvel came out there. They're like, oh, yeah, we're not done. Here's 10 more years of stuff. And then DC was like, I don't know. This movie stinks. Let's just pull it. But again, I don't even know how bad
everything.
Scrapping. Yeah. They're just pulling the plug on stuff right now. Now, I guess. Yeah. They also, this was another hot internet rumor, was they asked Henry Cavill if he has any interest in being Superman again. And he's like, no, I don't.
Well, you look at it from his perspective. Like, they've kind of, like, jerked him around for however long.
Yeah.
You know, they don't bring him out. Like, you know, they're doing this whole thing with, like, Black Adam and Dwayne Johnson. They're trucking him out everywhere. And Henry Cavill's nowhere to be found. He's out there being a handsome devil, building computers, playing Warcraft, and playing The Witcher.
Guy's got everything going, doesn't he?
He's got everything going for him.
And he's like, I've done enough of these movies. I've done, what, three? And then all with, like, the reshoots and everything else. He doesn't need to be in any more of these things.
Yeah. Remember how mad people got at him, too, about, like, the mustache and, like, all that stuff?
It's like, well, who needs that? Over. Yeah, this movie was a mess to shoot. It's over with. Yeah. I'm in another movie with Tom Cruise, for God's sakes.
Is he going to be in the next Mission Impossible, the two next Mission Impossibles?
Tom Cruise?
No, Henry Cavill.
I don't know. I didn't see the last one.
I didn't see the last one, too.
Sneaky, one of the funniest things ever was Mission Impossible 2 when Ben Stiller was doing the MTV Awards, and he was Tom Cruise's stunt double, also named Tom Cruise, but Cruise was spelled differently.
It was spelled differently, and he did, like, the laugh and everything.
So good.
That might have been, now, looking back on it, that might be one of the most unintentionally funny movies I've ever seen. The John Woo Mission Impossible 2. With all, like,
I love it.
It's doves out. And...
Yeah.
The weird and kind of incorrect Greek mythology, talking about like the chimera and like the Bellerophon and like all that, like the virus was the chimera and the antidote was the Bellerophon, the hero who killed the chimera.
So good.
Terrible.
Wasn't that also the movie where, and you know me, I love a Ford Taurus, is the first car I drove, but they had like all these fancy cars in the movie, and then the only one that exploded was a Ford Taurus. Like,
yes, I do remember that. Yeah, this is the one, they don't blow up expensive cars in movies.
Like, yeah, fair enough. Other DC news, it has been confirmed Joker 2 will star Lady Gaga. And this bad boy, make sure you circle the date, October 4th, 2024 for this one.
Why?
I don't know.
Why are you doing another Joker movie? Why are you making it a musical? And why is Lady Gaga involved?
It's a movie I like less and less as time goes on. And I didn't hate it when I watched it. In fact, I liked it very much. It was very different, but I'm like, I don't really need to rewatch this. I don't need this to be part of anything else. This can be a one-off. I'm fine with it. I like it less and less
for the minute. We're just gonna everything in Hollywood, they're just gonna bleed that stone dry. They're just gonna squeeze it and just bleed every last drop out of it, which is unfortunate.
What they're not bleeding the last drops out of Better Call Saul. The show has been great, and they're down to their final two episodes. Without getting into spoilers, what did you think of last week's episode?
I thought it was great. I thought it was great. It was one of my favorite episodes of this universe. Yeah. I think especially with, I love the stuff that's going on with what is the kid, Carol Burnett, and what's her Jeffy, her son.
Yeah. And Gene. I wanted Gene stuff. I'm so glad we got Gene stuff, cuz they sprinkled it in throughout the series, and I'm like, I hope we get more Gene, and we have. So I'm all excited.
Do you think we're going to get that Memento moment too, where like the black and white like fades into color, or vice versa?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I think they've been, probably. Yeah. We have two episodes. We basically have two hours and change left. So I could see that happening for sure.
And I love that we kind of got an answer as to what happened to a character who we kept asking about. We kind of got that answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice.
I think we can get a little bit more too, but you're right. Even if we don't, like, we got something.
Yep.
I haven't started it yet, but did you start The Sandman yet?
I do. I have. I think I'm four episodes into Sandman right now. I'm very much enjoying it.
Oh, good.
My wife is staring at me from across the table right now, and she is dying for me to dream. Lord Morpheus has a certain, a certain camber to his voice that she finds comical. So I'm working on an impression as we speak. But
very good.
He's the Lord of Sleep, so he sounds pretty sleepy. Let's just put it that way. Yeah.
He's always tired. Is this...
It's good. To answer your question, if you want, it's very good.
Standalone
episode? Not the impression. The show is good. The show is good so far. I would, for anybody... It could be. So the people who haven't started... The people who... Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you. Yes. Can you hear me?
It should be a standalone episode. Okay.
Yeah.
We're kind of stepping on each other a little bit tonight because of the technical difficulty. I will say to the people who haven't started it yet that the first episode is all set up. So you have to get through kind of the first episode to kind of get the background as to what's going on. And it takes a full episode. But after that, it kind of picks up.
All right.
And I would say that the character of Joanna Constantine, I've noticed we've been saying that wrong for years. It's now, I guess it's Constantine, not Constantine, is incredible. The girl who plays her is phenomenal.
So, yes, we said Constantine wrong in Shang-Chi. We were wrong about that forever, too. It's Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi, yeah.
Screw that up. Have you started Paper Girls? I am, I think, 6 of 8 episodes into Paper Girls.
I watched the first episode and was not impressed. Is that weird?
No, it gets better. I think so. One of my hangups on Paper Girls, and obviously there's been like comparisons to Stranger Things. Like when I read the comic book, you're like, yeah, all right, this one's even more sci-fi, probably less horror, more sci-fi. And it's a group of girls rather than a group of dudes. The actresses, they kind of grow on you as the series goes, but they don't have that immediate like charisma that the kids from Stranger Things have.
Okay.
It's really create, I think, turn that thing into like a monster hit. Whereas Paper Girls, right, I don't know if it's gonna have that, but I like it enough. I don't think it's standalone worthy, but I'll bang out the final two episodes this week. I like it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we don't have to agree on everything. That's what makes us great. It's not our similarities. It's our differences that make us great.
You like what you like.
Absolutely.
She-Hulk has been postponed an entire day.
A whole day.
August 17th to the 18th. And I guess this is going to be a Thursday show. So I feel like a lot of shows on Disney Plus have either been Wednesday or Friday between the MCU and Marvel or and Star Wars. But this one's going to be a Thursday show. So
I don't get why.
I don't know. Maybe
like, what are the reasons for this? Like, it just seems so silly to me and so arbitrary that like, no, we're going to do it Thursday now. Like, who gives a shit what day it is?
Maybe Andor going to be like a Wednesday show and they maybe want to separate the days. I don't know. That's all I can think of.
I mean, the people who like it are going to, it doesn't matter, right?
You're going to watch it. Most people don't watch shit live anyway. And not that you can really watch this live, but like when it drops, you pick a time on your schedule the next day or two. So it doesn't really matter. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
The final season of Atlanta just got a trailer. This is coming out September 15th, which is weird because like they had a season earlier this calendar year, and now they're having a final season coming out in September. And my only hope is that the main characters are in all of the episodes. They were only in half of the episodes last season.
Really? That's interesting. So I've watched, I think, the first half of the first season of Atlanta, and I love it. And I'm excited to watch it all in one shot. I think that's like my next. I have a list of shows that are, obviously we have the shows that are backlogged and stuff we know we have to watch. And that's like number one on my list because I think it's Donald Glover's a genius. Yeah.
And the cast is off the charts too. And when he first got him, it was like the first thing Zazie Beetz was in. Paperboy, what the hell is his name? The dude's in like
a Bullet Train now, right?
Yeah. That dude from Bullet Train. He's got three names, like David Michael Henry or whatever it is. And Lakeith Stanfield are all in it.
Is it David Tyree Henry?
Yep. I think that's it. Speaking of Bullet Train, came out this weekend, and last check on the old Roddy T's, 54% critics, 77% audience. I try to avoid some of the reviews. I saw the scores, but a couple of things I saw people on Twitter is like, it's pretty fun as you can imagine based on like the trailer, but also like a mess.
So one of the things that I kept seeing, and usually this is a tip off to me whether or not the movie is going to be any good, is I see ending of Bullet Train explained. Mm. Like, I don't know I didn't read the articles, but like when I see things like that, when you have to explain the movie to me, it's like when someone says like, tells you a joke and then, well, this is funny because this, the joke sucks.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. Like the movie, if I see that, it's a good indication that the movie sucks. If you have to explain it to me.
Yeah. So this one, I was like leaning maybe theater, but probably not now. I think probably I'll check this one out. Like as soon as it's streaming on something HBO or whatever, I'll check it out there. So that's a Bull Train, which turns out not the best movie. I think you can probably say for sure that was released this past weekend. All right, how about this? Oh, baby, that is the Should I Have Bought This theme. You can email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. An item that you bought, $25 minimum, a photo, and a brief description of why you bought it. And we will answer the question, should you have bought it? And of course, Ryan, it is brought to you by 47 Brand. Just go to 47brand.com, enter the promo code #dork at checkout for 25% off your entire order.
So
let's say you sat down, you put together, you loaded up your cart, right? And it was
$600. Okay, so my cart's full.
Cart's full. It says you owe us $612.37. If you entered hashtag dork with the promo word and ask you for a promo code at checkout, how much would you end up saving?
Would you say $612.37?
That's right.
That would be right. $459 you would spend all in.
Jesus. That's a hefty amount that you just saved, folks.
You would spend $459.28 if you round up. So That's a good chunk of savings.
Son of a bitch.
Down to 612.
So this one comes in from Matthew, and he emails us. He says, please help me settle an argument. I bought
these are the best ones.
Yeah. So it's a twofer, but he put them in the same email, and they both they should be included together.
Okay.
He goes, I bought these two a few months ago to put up in my new place. I live on my own, which is sweet because I can hang up literally anything I want, and I think both of these pieces are pretty funny. The first one is an old movie poster for a movie called Rude.
What the fuck?
Yep, pulling it up now. He goes, I've never seen this movie, nor do I know anything about it, but on the left side it says, quote, cock the hammer with cock in all caps.
This reminds me, a quick anecdote. This reminds me when you and I were in a room together, living together.
Yeah.
You remember those, like, so I'm trying to explain it to the people, those like placards. They weren't real posters, but they were like the placards you would see when you walked into like Blockbuster, like the movies that were coming out. They would have like these little, it looked like a street sign, but a movie poster.
Yeah. And it was like,
Richard,
not transparent, but like you could like, it could like light up kind of.
Yeah. Richard Francis Keith III had one for the Jamie Foxx vehicle Bait.
Yep. It's great.
And I think to this day, neither one of us had seen that movie.
I've never seen Bait. I had Bait.
But anytime anybody asked, you would be like, you haven't seen Bait? You haven't seen Bait? What do you mean? You haven't seen Bait? And like, you would talk about the movie, like, you, one, that you had seen it, and two, that it was the greatest movie ever, which I thought in my mind was one of the funniest things ever. It was the funniest, like, ongoing jokes.
But you haven't seen Bait? Yeah. The cool thing about that too is it was like a rectangle, and it was like,
yep,
didn't take up a lot of space. So it was like a thing that you could put above a doorway, or like you could put it in like a weird spot. Didn't need a big place. So like, it was in like all my rooms. And then even in college, I think I had Bait, and I had Practical Magic with Sandy Bullock and Nicole Kidman. Because we went to the theater one day, and there was like a pile on the table, and like the guy working there was like, you guys want any of these? And it was all like shit movies that like you're shocked were even out. And I was like, oh, I'm grabbing Bait, and I'm grabbing Practical
Magic. Was one of them Rude? Because...
Rude. So how much did he pay for this? He said he got it in an estate auction. He thinks it's hilarious. So the poster Rude didn't get any, go to the YouTube channel to see the actual photo of it.
And it's brutal. It says Rude twice.
Yeah.
What, and the poster's like split in half. Like it looks like a movie poster on like one side, and then like a dipshit kid's away AIM away message on the right hand side. And for whatever reason it says cock the hammer. Coming soon. I don't know who's in this movie. I don't know what this movie's about. I don't know who directed this movie. I don't even know if it's real. So I'm going to say, so this is a twofer. So we got two movie posters.
No, they're two different things that he has hanging up on his wall. So I said two different answers. So how much do you think this one cost? And then we'll answer this one, and then we'll move to the next one and do the same thing.
I'm going to say, $30.
You nailed it.
This was $30.
$30 for...
I knew it had to be over 25, and you spent 25 too many dollars for this thing.
Get the fuck out of here!
It does say cock the hammer pretty big. Yeah, people in the chat seem to like the cock the hammer. It also says bitch pretty noticeably. See there in the middle on the person's face?
Oh, yeah, so it says, listen, perhaps you can hear the slapping of the dog's hips against the bitch's butt kneeled in front of him. Rude. Or perhaps you're just one of the mongrels going through your own particular brand of strokes. What?
Cock the hammer. Yeah, I'm out on
that. Cock the hammer. Coming soon.
All right. The second piece, Ryan.
What a fucking stupid thing that is. I'm sorry.
Here's the second piece.
All right.
He goes, secondly, the pride of my collection is a people's name. All right, this is from Matthew. Is a picture frame with four player cards among some other knickknacks. The four players, so like trading cards. These are hockey cards for, again, for people that are watching the stream. Four players are Patrick Laleen, Marian Hossa, Wade Redden, and Peter Shalevi. Or whatever, I don't even know who the fuck that guy is. Shalastly? I have no idea.
I can't read it.
it's outrageous. Now I bought it because I'm a huge Ottawa Senators fan.
You're the one? You're the guy who's the fucking Ottawa Senators fan?
He says the piece is entitled, and you can see it engraved, see in gold there at the bottom. It's called Ottawa's Finest. A quick Google search will confirm that at no time was Peter Shalastly ever one of Ottawa's finest.
How he or it was Patrick Laleen.
No, Patrick Laleen wasn't either. But that guy Shalastly had 9 goals and 10 assists in the 02-03 season, which is the year this was made. And he only played in 33 games.
Marian Hossa is a very good hockey player. I will give you Marian Hossa, but I'd like,
yeah, Patrick Laleen, Marian Hossa, Wade Redden. So it's
Wade
got
Redden,
yeah, it's got a big center in the middle there where it has like the Senators logos. Then above it, so there's a big square frame. Then there's four evenly spaced playing cards of the four guys I named, and then it does say Ottawa's Finest. Like that's,
and it has all their jerseys in it. Yeah. Oh, this thing is sucks. Get it out. I don't give a shit how much of this. Would you pay like $50 for this thing?
More.
Okay. I want fit more.
More than 50.
What year was this from?
This was 02-03.
I want to see. I want to see this team's record.
See, well, I'll say one thing right now.
This is the team that went to the cup, I think.
With those guys?
They were first in the Eastern Conference.
In 03?
02-03.
Holy smokes.
The season saw the highest point in the playoffs. They were eliminated by the New Jersey Devils, the eventual Stanley Cup winners in the Eastern Conference Finals. So they went to the Eastern Conference Finals and lost. So this is like a...
Oh my God.
Yeah, so this is like your third place. That's the year the Devils won the cup. But still, like this is the best team that the Ottawa Senators have ever had.
You would think they would have like Daniel Alfredson would have made his way on.
You would think so.
Said piece,
right?
Not on there.
Not on there.
Or I don't know. Or Chara.
Maybe.
Maybe put Chara on there. So yeah, I like
two Hall of Famers.
I do like sports memorabilia, and I do like random athletes. I'm a fan of random fucking guys sitting here having a talking about old Toronto Blue Jays or Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm all for that. It's more than $50, though, Ryan. Would you like to take a second guess?
$75.
It is twice that. It is $150.
$150. Now, this is a person who claims to be an Ottawa Senators fan.
Ottawa fan.
Sorry. Anytime, like you said, if you had a guy who's like Ottawa's finest and he had like 20 points the whole season, like fuck off. No way.
No, thanks.
No way.
rough. I feel like I don't care what team you root for, but I feel like there's got to be better pieces of the Senators than that.
Like you said, like I would love their old jerseys, the ones that are like red, white, red. So white, red, and black striped. Yeah. Like those jerseys are sick. If you like had $150 jersey, like Ottawa Senator jersey like that, that's better to me than like four random ass hockey cards. One of them happens to be Marian Hossa just by chance.
So he has $180 worth of stuff on his wall with just the Cock the Hammer poster and Ottawa's Finest.
$30 is a lot to pay for something that just you thought it was funny because it said Cock the Hammer, right?
Yeah, probably.
No,
get out of here.
Well, he says, please settle an argument I've had repeatedly with my buddies about whether or not I should have bought these. So I'm guessing most of his buddies are on the side that we are. Again, you like what you like, you buy what you buy, but no, you should not have bought those.
Would not find a way into my home. Neither one of those things.
We're gonna skip those. We're gonna forego Davey's video game minute until next week, with Davey's back in the bullpen. Yep. So, Ryan, I got a question for you.
Y'all ready for bisque?
Topic du jour?
Yeah, more than anything in the world.
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. And today it is, let's get us back up here. It is the film Prey. 1 hour, 39 minutes, rated R. It's the prequel to The Predator. It's the fifth Predator film. Seventh, if you include the Alien versus Predator two films as well.
You might as well.
93% by the critics on Rotten Tomatoes. 81% by the audience, and it was released on Hulu this past weekend. We'll start spoiler free as we always do with our movie and TV reviews. Ryan, did you like it?
I did. How about you?
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit.
I would say a good amount.
Yeah, I very much did. Sleeper movie, right? Like I thought it wasn't one of our Captain Marvel nominees for most anticipated.
No.
But when the first trailer started coming around, it was like, huh? Like, we gave it a little bit of the, what? That looks...
What's the thing? Well, my little peepee.
The SNL bit with Anna Kournikova.
Oh, yeah.
My little peepee was like, huh? You can't say that. Wow, you say booyah. Sweet, sassy molassie.
I'm a little teapot. I'm going to run up your dress.
Dude, what are you doing? It's me. I'm Carl Malone, and I'm not going to pay a lot for my car insurance or whatever the fuck it says. John Stockton, I'm going to run right up your dress. That's like a top 10-20 SNL sketch.
And I can't find it. But I, going back to this movie, though, I would like you. Model. I was very surprised. At how good this was and how it was reviewed so well because it took so many people by surprise.
Could be. But also, like, the acting was top notch, and it was by, you know, maybe a cast that you weren't super familiar with.
Right.
I think it would have been a good movie even if there wasn't Predators, as crazy as that is. Like, the Predators make it a whole thing, and, like, the movie would have had to be different without them because they were still a very important part of the movie. But if you just take that element out and, like, added something else or, like, did a little bit more with these characters, I think it still would have been pretty compelling.
Yeah. Yeah, do you hear that rain that's coming in for me right now?
Yeah, it was
cats and dogs here. Oh,
Jesus.
Big time.
Oh my
I'm in a bit of a cabin too, so you're gonna hear it. But that's the hiss you hear is it's all rain.
It's good ambiance.
It's crazy.
It's
crazy.
Our lawn needs it. Am I right?
Am I right? We could use this rain. It's been hot. There's the Dickens out there.
This film was directed by Dan Trachtenberg, who has a pretty light resume, but let me give you what he's done so far. He has directed one feature film prior to this. And that film was 10 Cloverfield Lane. And he has also directed a couple of episodes of television, one of Black Mirror and one of The Boys.
Yeah.
So this guy's no joke.
He's no joke. Are you hearing me okay, by the way?
He just kind of went out of it a little bit.
But I'm good now.
It's the fucking rain. Now you sound like you're in a tin can a little bit.
Nah, for Christ's sake. Let me fix that again. I tried to do the echo cancellation because we are not having a good night here.
Stinks. Stinks out loud. Yeah. You sound not great.
That's probably the best I'm gonna do right now.
So yeah, do that.
I switched it.
Yeah, leave it. Just leave it. Oh no, but this guy actually, because like 10 Cloverfield Lane was its own movie, and then they like tied it into Cloverfield, and they didn't like really need to, but it sort of added something. This one obviously is much more of a Predator film very clearly a prequel taking place hundreds of years before. Did you like that story element of it? Because again, we've seen a lot of good movies and then movies that have gotten sequels and then they're like, all right, now we're going to the prequel, and like you're like, oh shit, like that can be sort of a dangerous, a lot of hits and misses, more misses maybe when they go,
but I did like the element of it because you're dealing with a tribe of people like the Comanche who were hunters they lived in the plains and that's what they did, so it's an interesting way to kind of, and we'll get into it when we do like character breakdowns in the movie stuff, but one of the things that they did with this movie that I found was really interesting with the main character, it wouldn't have worked any other way. So like the way they did the way that I guess Dan Trachtenberg, whoever the writers were who like figured this out, it was a really cool way to do a prequel. It wasn't just doing it like, oh, this is what a Victorian era Predator would look like. Or, you know what I mean? It was like, it actually made sense the way they did it.
Yeah. It easily could have been a throwaway, or not throwaway, I should say, but if they made it all about the Predator and being like, all right, the Predator, like it's a prequel Predator story. So it's the first time the Predator or a Predator came to Earth, and we're going to focus on this, and didn't develop the characters or who the Predator was going to be going up against. Like, that was maybe the surprise. Like, you ended up loving these characters and you cared so much about them, and you just met them for the first time. Whereas, like, we've seen the Predators and Predators a million times and like all the shit they can do, and it's really cool. But these characters were awesome. And one of the best dog characters we've seen.
I would say there, look, you have Lassie, you have all these dogs, you know, Turner and Hooch. So like, I think there's no more useful. And I don't, I know you, and I know the people who I love and care about all felt the same way, that like, if anything had happened to that dog in that movie, they were turning it off.
Oh, there was a couple of times where I'm like, they're going to do it, aren't they? I was getting nervous, but great dog stuff. Good, good action in this. The story, I think, again, was the big surprise. All right, Ryan, is this the best Predator movie?
No.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's the best Predator movie. Based on my recency bias, I probably have it 2, but after a week or two, I'll probably have it down to 3. So I would go the original number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
I think these are 2 separate things. Is this the best? Okay, so is this the best Predator movie in terms of like how it's made and the story? Yes. Is it my favorite? No. My favorite is always going to be the original. I think that movie is an absolute goddamn gorgeous classic.
Death of the Chopper!
It's really hard to top the first Predator.
It's really hard to top.
It's so, yeah, you and I are a little bit different because like my favorite and the best I consider kind of the same. So I would say I would say Predator. And then I would probably go Prey 2 right now. But don't sleep on Predators. The third one, the one with Adrian Brody, is fucking
awesome. Like that one.
Yeah. I love it.
What I didn't like, I did not like Predator 2. I liked Alien versus Predator a little more than the normal person. And Alien versus Predator Requiem sucks.
Not great.
No.
No, that's the cutoff to me. I think everybody ballpark, the top 3 should probably be Predator, Predators, and Prey. And then Alien versus Predator is a good middle one. And then The Predator, which came out a couple of years ago, is I would put certainly ahead of Predator 2 and AVP Requiem.
Yes.
It's overall a good series, though. Like, when you look at, like, horror, like, really horror movies are, like, some of the only other movies that go 7-plus deep, and there's usually a few dog shit ones in there. Now, there's a couple dog shit ones, but there it's deep. Like, it's probably got a similar, if not a better, track record than like X-Men movies. I think it's close.
Yeah, I mean, it's close. It's that or like a, you know, I'm trying to think of like Nightmare on Elm Street or even the Aliens. So like the time, like the Aliens movies.
Yeah.
Some of those are like all-timers and some of those are, like you said, they're just dog shit. So
are dumps for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by the way, most of these are on Hulu also. Like, so if anybody wants to go back through that deep dive and look for them, if you were able to watch Prey, you're able to watch all these other ones. I forgot how good Predators was. So that
cast, I've only seen that once. I got to watch that again.
It's awesome. It's so good. Yeah, it's like Adrian Brody, and then like a ridiculous group like Danny Trejo, Topher Grace randomly, Walton Goggins is in it, Lawrence Fishburne.
Is that the one where they go to their planet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mahershala Ali.
Like, it's a fucking sneaky good cast. And like,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Adrian Brody wins an Oscar in the same year he's banned from SNL like forever, right?
Why is
that
he banned?
Whole thing? He did something where he would like, it was Sean Paul was like the musical guest, and he came out in like a Rasta like dreadlock wig that you would buy at like Spirit Halloween. And people were telling him like not to do it, and like he did it anyway, and like did like a Jamaican accent, and they were like, what? "You're fucking more." You haven't seen this? Like, you
don't.
Story?
I don't remember that at all.
He's like banned from SNL.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
Adrian Brody, SNL. Hey, there's a whole list. Is every host that's banned from SNL?
Yeah.
The painfully awkward reason Adrian Brody was banned from SNL. For an improvised Jamaican accent.
Yeah, and they were like telling he was about to do. He's like, I'm going to do this. It'll be funny. And they're like, please don't. Like, please don't do that. And he did it anyway.
I wish you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Wow, that's insane. Yeah. Holy shit. All right, well, but anyway, there's a lot in there, and if we missed that. That movie came out in 2010, so it was clearly predates the podcast. I don't know if we've ever even brought it up before, but it's really enjoyable. All right, would you call Prey a must see, especially because you can watch
it free? Yeah, I mean, if you like sci-fi horror kind of thing, I mean, this is right up your alley. I don't understand why, like, it's good. It's super good. Yeah.
Christopher's got a good idea in the chat.
That is kind of a sneaky good idea.
A standalone episode just on celebs banned from SNL. I love it.
There's a lot. Like, there's a way more than you think there is. So
yeah.
All right, we'll get into that.
All right, Ryan, what is your hashtag dork score for Prey?
I'll give it a soft 5. Right?
I'm going 5.
I could be convinced of 4.5, but this is like a soft 5 for me.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 5. And it's funny, like, I think sometimes you'll have like a score in mind. And then I know you did this recently with a TV show. You think back to some of the other like recent scores you've given out. And I'm like, well, it's better than that. It's worse than that. It's better. So like, I have this in my top 5 of movies I've seen so far this year.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a 5 as well. So dual 5s for Prey. Let us know what you think. Hit us up in the chat. What do you guys thought of Prey? You can also tweet us at Dork Podcast or email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. What did you think of Prey? And I'll also tweet out my Predator film rankings at some point.
I will do the same. Once you do it, I will do mine right underneath yours.
Very good. Very, very good. All right. Anything else non-spoiler?
No, let's get to it.
All right.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, the film takes place in 1719, so give or take 250, 300 years prior to the first Predator movie. But again, the concept of Predator is so simple and yet so awesome. It's just these fucking Predators want to go places and learn to be like the best killers in the world. They want to sniff out other good killers and kill them.
And it's awesome. And this was kind of introduced because of the first two Predators. Like, you didn't really understand why. It was just kind of like these aliens come and they kill a bunch of people and take their skulls and spines, by the way, badass, as trophies. But now, like, with Alien versus Predator, you see that this is kind of like a rite of passage. Like, they drop off, like, these warrior hopefuls, and they have to survive and bring home, like, these trophies. So the coolest thing was, like, watching this Predator, this early Predator, start small and keep getting like more and more ballsy, like it went.
Yeah.
So, what was the first thing it kills? It's like a snake, or you know what I mean? And then it goes to like a wolf, and then it goes to a bear. You know what I mean? So, like seeing it kind of do that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I also love how like they identified like the killers in this tribe too as like formidable opponents, and like these are killers. Like each one of these movies, that's what they did. And then you go to Predators, and that's where they take killers and bring them to their planet. But they take like they like highlight a fucking badass across the board and bring them there. And then this one is like, you're right, because each one like it sort of has its own movie going on. Like right, like the first Predator, it's like, all right, here's Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers and Jesse the Body, and they're going in there to get hostages out of there. And like that's like all they're only that's like their thing.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh wait, what the fuck? Like there's one of these creatures in there that's like turning invisible and just slaughtering everybody.
A great nod, the first person to identify that there is something in the woods and it's not human is Billy, who is also a Native American.
Ooh.
And a tracker. Like that's why he's there.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a nice little callback to the first call forward to the next Predator. Yeah. But
that was one. There were some tips of the cap to some of the other ones. So the pistol at the end that you see is the pistol that Danny Glover's character gets in Predator 2 after he kills one of the Predators, and the other Predators are like, all right, you're legit, you killed him, here's a fucking gun. That gun was what we saw in this movie.
That's so fucking cool. That's the coolest.
So they must have come back. So there's also like a post-credit scene, I think, in this, right? It was a post-credit, right? Where the ship?
It wasn't really. As the credits were going, there was like the almost like cave drawings, or like the you could see like what was happening. Yeah.
But clearly, like they're gonna have to be something there where they get the gun. I don't know if they come back, if they kill these characters or whatever happens. Like maybe they come back 100 years later, maybe they come back 50 years later, maybe they come back 10 years later. We don't know when they come back again, but this is supposed to be the first time that they were there. So yeah, there's at least that connection to Predator 2. Makes Predator 2 a little bit better, even though I'm with you, it's probably one of the worst ones.
A little bit better, yeah.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit better. Now, the main character, Naru, I think is how you say her name, played by Amber Midthunder, up there for best character of the year. She was fucking awesome.
And my wife wanted me to tell you, because she has notes for this movie. She actually was begrudgingly didn't want to watch this and then loved it by the end.
I saw her tweet about that. Yeah, she was and then she's like, oh, damn it, this thing's pretty good.
Yeah, and then so she wanted to be how expressive she was with her eyes. Like how, you know, the characters really don't say much, you know, but it's how expressive her face was. And you could see her learning. You could see her making adjustments, like kind of on the fly. And, you know, very expressive face. So she wanted me to make
it. I agree. No, I definitely
get a great character.
Also, in the pantheon of weapons, having a small axe that you can tie a rope to and retrieve it is fucking awesome. And that scene of her just working it into the tree and snapping it back, working into the tree and snapping it back. Awesome.
And I know I'm kind of jumping ahead right now because I know we're going to get into character breakdowns and stuff like that. But one of the best things about this was everything she did that was kind of using guile or using her wits to figure something out. Everyone around her was making fun of her for, and no one saw her as this threat. And she was like, no, I do this because, and she uses it in a number of ways, whether it's throwing it and retrieving it or using it as a grappling hook to get out of situations. So you see this character learn as she goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love too, the whole time in this, if you have the people in her tribe that go home, you're not a hunter, you're not a warrior. And then so she has to prove it to them. There's also the group of characters that are Voyager, the French Voyagers that were skinning the bison alive. There's that group that obviously take her lightly, and then they get the Predator. So it's she has to prove herself on three different levels and is able to do it. And one of my favorite scenes in the whole thing is when she's just talking her shit and she's putting on her fucking war paint and you guys don't think I'm the same kind of hunter as you. You don't think I'm a warrior like you. And you're oh shit. She is setting up something epic. And she did. The final 20 minutes of this movie are off the charts.
It's really good. And again, you see this character develop. And one of the things that I found was super interesting too, is there were several times where the Predator just flat out ignored her too.
Yeah.
Whereas and again, this is a callback to I think it was Predator 2. When it was the Maria Chiquita Alonso character, the Predator grabs her and looks at and sees that she's pregnant and then lets her go. So when you think of hunting, I've had a passing knowledge of hunting my whole life, just being a New Englander. But most predators don't kill females. They don't kill, especially when you think of hunting deer, you don't shoot females.
Yeah. Right.
Or you don't see them as threats. But now, she is the threat, which is fucking awesome.
And there's a history in the series, too, where unarmed people don't get killed. Right. They want you to have a weapon. They want you to be they don't want
you to see way out. The triangle, when it goes on, when it targets with the predators looking, it'll show a weapon. It'll target. It doesn't really necessarily target the person. It'll show that they're holding a weapon.
Yeah.
The little red triangle.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's I don't want an easy win. I want a challenge. It's the whole point of why we're here.
It's quantity, not quality. It's quality, not quantity.
Yeah. Right? Oh, my God. Yeah.
But I love that, too, that you have all of these throughout this. You have this girl who's relying on everything that she has with her. Right. And everyone around her is relying on things. So you think of the Predator itself has these high tech weapons. To them, it's these high tech guided weapons that it relies on, or the cloaking tech. And you have these trappers who rely on guns and actual physical metal traps that they use. So they're relying on other things, whereas she's just whatever she has with her. That's what I'm going to use.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what good hunters do.
Pretty great. Yeah, no, yeah. There's some good scenes of her like getting all her stuff together. I thought her brother was a really good character too. He was very easily likable and a badass in his own way.
Yeah, and again, you know, you didn't like him at the onset because he kind of stole her thunder in the beginning, where he, you know, brings home this mountain lion that he says he killed when she actually wounded it for him. And he tells her that after the fact, but
yeah. He's like, I'm the one, like, I need to be the one that does this. Like, you're
right.
You're not expected to do this, but yeah, no, the whole thing was a pretty surprise. Now, do you consider Predator movies? Do you think do they go into horror for you? Would you ever consider them horror movies?
I liken it. So if you think Alien is a horror movie, then this, right. I would say it's like sci-fi horror mix.
Yeah, I guess it probably should. Like, I never really did before, but I was reading some description from someplace and it was like, oh, it's a, even on Wikipedia, it says it's a period action horror film. And I was like, oh, I guess.
Yeah, I used to think horror elements to it. Too,
but I think Alien 1 is a horror. I think Jaws is a horror. So I guess movies probably are.
They call the Predator at several times in this movie a monster.
Yeah.
Or I forget the word, like the Comanche term for it, but it's like some sort of monster, like in the.
Oh, yeah. Good point in the chat.
Oh, yeah, that was a good callback to that as well. Yeah.
Best line. If it can bleed, we can kill it. And yeah, they use that in Predator 1 as well.
Yes.
They said that here. They said that there. So that is definitely a good line. What other, do you want to see more, I guess, Predators or Prey movies? Because again, even when this movie ends, you don't even get to the Schwarzenegger one for 260 something years. Do you want to see any more middle ground stuff?
I don't know. Like, I don't know, because this was so good. I think the only thing you can do now is you can fuck it up, you know, at this point. But I do like, you know, I don't want to turn it into like Ernest movies where it's like Ernest goes to Africa or like Predator goes to Asia or whatever. But like, I feel like there are like cool stories of these, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there is, you could make a cool story out of it, but I don't know off the top of my head. I'm leaning no. I don't want to see anymore.
You're probably right. Like, kind of leave well enough alone. I do feel like the character who survived is such a badass. Like, I would like to see her in something else again, playing the same character. But then again, that's the risk you run with like sequels, and like a lot of times sequels suck. And you're like, the whole idea is like, oh, I want to see this character again. And then you see him, and you're like, I kind of wish we didn't see that character again.
Or like, what if they take her, you know, and like put her through like some sort of trial?
Yeah, they could.
Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So,
oh, you know what you do is you get her, and then they like freeze her. Stay with me. You freeze her.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then Arnold Dutch is the only guy that survived Predator 1. You find out that they froze him. Then you get like Danny Glover. You get all the lone survivors.
Oh my God. Can you imagine wheeling out? How old is Danny Glover at this point?
I don't know. Is he still alive?
You could do he is barely. Last thing I saw him in, like, you remember in Shooter when he was like the bad senator, like the CIA guy, and his like, you could tell he had like fake teeth in and they were like clacking together and he had like kind of like a hiss in his voice.
He's only 76.
I know, but
getting too old for this shit.
He is getting to a day. Yeah, he was old for this shit then.
It's like 30 years ago.
I know. You know what's funny? I think, like, thinking about it, I think Danny Glover, when Lethal Weapon came out and he first started talking about him being too old for this shit, I think he was my age.
Yeah, probably. Oh, there's a bunch of those that go. Oh, we were talking about Jennifer Coolidge the other day on the the air. You see Jennifer Coolidge. I think she was telling the truth. You never know with her because she has such a good sense of humor. But she was talking about playing Stifler's mom and how it allowed her so many opportunities. She's like, there's like 200 men that she had sex with that she probably wouldn't have had sex with if it wasn't for American Pie. Long story short, how old do you think she was when she filmed American Pie?
She was like a Second City person. Like, she's like a Christopher Guest person. I'm going to say when she filmed American Pie, she had to be like 45, 47.
She was like 38.
Come on.
Yeah. So she was born.
Stifler's mom is younger than me.
Yeah.
Like, right, like the night. That's crazy.
Isn't it nuts? Because, like, crazy. You think of her as like, yeah, you're right. She was in The Groundlings.
Yeah.
And she's obviously been in like Best in Show, and she was in a bunch of those movies. But Yeah, she was born in 1961, so she's 60 right now. That movie came out, whatever it was, 23 years ago.
Yeah.
So she was like 37, 38 when she filmed that.
That's nuts, man. That's absolutely nuts. Like, I've never felt so old in my life than like...
Then you have the flip side. Do you see the thing that Rossi tweeted out? There was the dude who's like an old manager for the Angels, and it was like a baseball card of him, and he was 47 years old, but the guy looked legit 85. People aged so fucking different back then.
Yeah,
like somebody was doing that. I forget which Twitter account. They were taking old like sitcoms from like the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
they're putting like the show photo, and then they would put the age of how old they were during that photo. People aged like assholes back then. Like, it's outrageous.
Oh, you got to think like how many people smoked and like how many people. Like, nobody smokes anymore.
No, that's
that ages you like a motherfucker.
Just ripping butts, just throwing darts down your lungs,
and just like drinking like heavy, be like Bud heavies, and like smoking a pack of cigarettes a day, like eating red meat all the time. That'll age you.
Oh yeah,
like poorly.
Drink. yeah, not great.
No,
you look weathered. Now you also look experienced.
All weathered.
Carl weathered. You look like you have a lot of experiences, a lot of tales to tell. You do have that. But I also love. So I went back and watched the original Predator too. Obviously,
I did too.
And so,
you son of a bitch.
This is such prime, and so that obviously leads to the one of the great memes of all time, where you have Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they like zoom in on it. It's so unnecessary to have Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers slap five and then squeeze each other's hands, and they both flex.
Oh, and they're so fucking ripped. They're so ripped,
juice to the gills. These guys.
How much juice? How much juice was on that set?
All of it. And then you throw in the Jesse the Body. Those guys were just shredded to pieces.
And like Shane Black, they're like, no, none for Shane Black. No, like, no. Shane,
don't do that. Well, I even read a thing about Predators is when they wanted Adrian Brody, they were like, we didn't want to go down the road of like an Arnold copycat. Mm-hmm. So we went more towards like a better actor who's like can play a badass rather than just a guy who's jacked to the trees. Right. And so Arnold, this is right in between Terminator 1 and T2. Like when he filmed this.
Yep.
And so like his English is better than it was in some of the earlier movies, but it's still not like what it eventually came to. And so some of the lines are just so great.
Oh, they're so bad. And it's right after, I think, Commando.
Yep. I think it's after that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the best.
Like that Red Heat era. Yeah.
Well, listen, and then Pumping Iron. If you guys haven't seen Pumping Iron or whatever the fuck it's called. It's like another, you can't believe it's really like that's really the movie.
Yeah.
I remember people telling me about it and like years ago. I'd be like, yeah, sure. And then watching it and be like, yeah, it's even crazier than I thought.
Yeah. It's a weird movie, man.
You got Lou Ferrigno in there.
Yeah.
Ripping
the other guy. So if you haven't seen it, so I have a copy in my permanent DVD collection of the first Arnold Schwarzenegger's first American movie. It's not what you think it is. It was the 1968 or 69. Hercules in New York, which was his first English speaking role, and that his English was so bad that they had to dub him over.
So I thought in the movie. I thought they dubbed him over.
But the DVD I have, you can play his original audio track. It is laugh out loud funny. His English is. Yeah.
Yeah. So last year he got divorced from Maria Shriver after they've been married since 86. What the hell happened there? Yeah.
The whole thing with the maid and the illegitimate kid probably weighs on a marriage a little bit, you know.
Got it. That could be a red flag.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, his filmography, you could almost do a thing on his filmography. I remember growing up, two movies I saw all the time were Twins and Kindergarten Cop.
I watched
the shit out of both of those.
And Kindergarten Cop takes place in, I believe it's Astoria, Washington, the same town that Goonies takes place in.
I like that shared universe.
Maybe.
Perhaps. Yeah, Hercules in New York. Rye, that was 1970.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like 68, 69.
No, but you're right. But that's still like he didn't. The Terminator was 84. Conan the Barbarian was 82. So, like, that was a long time. So, Pumping Iron came out in 77, which is just.
And he, insane. I believe his name in the movie was Arnold Strong. It was the name he went by.
Nice.
So, nice. A little on the nose, but.
What's your favorite Arnold movie? T2.
Oh man, no. I'm a big like True Lies fan. I love True Lies.
True Lies is very good.
Probably let Predator.
I was gonna say Predator. So Terminator, Commando, The Running Man, Red Heat, Twins, Total Recall.
T2. Oh, I love Total Recall too.
Total Recall's good. True Lies, Junior, Last Action Hero, Eraser, Jingle All the Way, Batman and Robin, End of Days, which don't sleep on the soundtrack.
No, that was a good soundtrack.
End of Days soundtrack. Oh my god, that thing fucks.
You like rap rock? Get you some End of Days soundtrack.
Let me. You know, now that we're here, how about these bands? Korn, Everlast, Limp Bizkit, Guns N' Roses, The Prodigy, Rob Zombie. Prodigy. Eminem, Power Man 5000, Sonic Youth, and Creed. Somehow Creed finds their ways onto these good soundtracks.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get roasted for this, but for whatever reason, I haven't looked at the track list, but I know those bands are on it, and I feel like the Creed song's actually pretty good on that soundtrack. What song's on there?
Let me grab it.
Actually pretty good. I think it's actually pretty good.
Wrong Way by Scott Stapp. Yeah. Performed by Creed. Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, what a weird. I had that. That was in the CD changer at one point.
Sure was.
Yeah, not bad. Not too shabby. What else? Anything else? Schwarzenegger, Predator, Prey.
No, so I mean, this is a great movie with a great heroine, a great female character, underestimated. So it hits on all those tropes, but does it in such a way that it's not like completely in your face, which I really appreciated that it wasn't like, But again, a clever prequel and something that stands well on its own. And if you're into these types of movies, you should definitely check that out for show.
You son of a bitch.
I would say the only thing I didn't love the trappers, that the French guys.
Yeah.
A little weak to me.
Yeah.
But
I agree. Like they needed
they
something
were just
else.
Cannon clearly. Fodder. Yeah.
That's it. That's what they were. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, we didn't even mention like the final setup to kill the Predator. Pretty elaborate. Is she like fucking Home Alone that shit? But
she trapped him.
Yeah,
she actually, and there was the whole thing. So I forget.
She got stuck in that same shit and got herself out. And like,
so she knew. But that's the thing. That's like the whole like Batman Nolan thing. Know your surroundings. Like know what's around you. Like know the terrain. And there was a. The thing that they kept talking about. This is her. It starts with a K, but it's like basic like her proving ground type of thing.
Yeah,
where you have to hunt, and I looked into it. So it's like this old Comanche thing that like you are hunt something that's actually hunting you. So that's like, and you bring it
dangerous back game
with you, right? So that was her, and I like that twist on it. So have it believe that it's hunting you while you're hunting it the whole time was pretty cool.
What did you think of the John Leguizamo film, The Pest? Most dangerous
game. I think that is one of those movies that I think I started watching on VHS or whatever. And it was one of those movies I got. And remember, like, we talked about this a lot. Like, Blockbuster used to do, like, the previously viewed DVDs, like, 3 for $20. Mm-hmm. And I think it was one of those I picked it up. And I actually had to pause it and, like, leave the room for a little bit, really understand what was going on, and then finish it. Like, I just couldn't watch it in one shot.
What are we doing here? I watched that movie way too many times. I don't know why. I'm not sure why, but
get to the chopper!
All right, that'll do it for Prey. Dual Fives again. Let us know what you guys thought about Prey.
Pick of the bomb.
All right, Ryan, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or you may also choose at this time to defend a goal?
I will receive because I think I've deferred the last 2 weeks. So watch Sandman again. So I'm 4 episodes deep. I'm told that they're really strongly looking at Joanna Constantine as like a spin-off character. That the woman who plays her is actually really, really good. She speaks very good. I had to slow it down. She speaks very Latin very well.
Oh, wow.
I had to slow it down. I did do what she's saying. I could tell you, we could go through the whole thing.
Sure.
So it is pretty good. But the real one, my real pick of the pod, I am listening to a new podcast other than ours and whoever else's. There is a, and this is old, I'm just new to it now, but there's a podcast called Bansplain. The host's name is Yossi Salek. She was a writer for a minute, but she brings on experts of bands who have like cult followings and explains why these bands are good. And they're not the bands you think they are. So I the first episode is Steely Dan, which is to me, which was awesome.
right in your wheelhouse. Yeah.
Right in my wheelhouse. But I've listened to several episodes. She did one on 311, The Misfits. She did a two-parter on Radiohead, which was like phenomenal. Like she brings on the guy who literally wrote the book on Kid A. So he wrote a book about the album Kid A and like how it got made and all that stuff. So she brings on experts to talk to her about these things. The one I'm listening to now, Richard, this will pique your interest. Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, hello.
She does an episode with a guy who's like, he's a podcaster, a journalist, a rock writer, also happens to be an unabashed juggalo.
I love
it. So she talks to him. So if you want to listen to that, it's like an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
Just explaining Insane Clown Posse to people who don't necessarily understand them. It's phenomenal.
It might be going over a lot of areas.
And what's great is they do it. It's a Spotify podcast. And there's this new thing called Spotify Anchor.
Okay.
Which you can actually play music in the podcast. So you'd be like, here, okay, we're talking about this album. What album, what song do you want to hear from this album? And they'll play the song.
They play any ICP?
Yeah. They play throughout the whole episode.
What's your favorite ICP song?
I don't have one because I don't listen to them. But
you should.
I mean, Miracles is
a good one.
All time fucking magnets.
I would say they work. Nobody knows. I would say anything off of The Great Malenko. That's their best album. The Riddle Box, also a good album.
You should listen to
Amazing Jekyll Dance Brothers. Fucking love them. 311 is an interesting one because
it was interesting.
I just remember that you used 311 as a remember in the movie Haggard with Bam Margera? He uses 311 as a punchline in a joke where he's just like his girlfriend was caught like cheating on him or something like that. Remember? And he's
giving
like
hand jobs for like
giving a hand job, right? He's like, it's not that bad. It's not like she was like getting eaten out for 311 tickets.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Like the fuck? Like, wait a minute.
But anyway, it's great to listen to the guy who like writes for Pitchfork talk about how he's admitted 311 fan and like why.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, it's
I don't mind them. I like them. I think I had Transistor. I had one of the CDs, I think.
Transistor's a great album. That's their best album.
Yeah, that's the one I had.
Yeah.
I have three quick things for Pick of the Pod. Mm-hmm. One, speaking of ICP, they're not featured in this, but they were at Woodstock 99. And there's another documentary on Netflix of Woodstock 99, three episodes. They're all about 45, 50 minutes.
Oh, shit. I wanted to watch this. Is it good?
Yeah, it is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So there was an HBO one last year that came out. And so they have some overlap. Like my guy Jonathan Davis is in both.
Yep.
This one's a little bit different. They focus on some different things, which I think is good. What a wild, wild time. And one of my wife's good college friends is from that town and went to it. And I was like texting her all day today, like asking her questions about it.
From the trailer of this, they had like talked to like those two knuckleheads. Like one of them has a mullet and they're like, I don't know. I wasn't doing nothing that weekend. You know what I mean? Like what a terrible idea. Like the idea of the original Woodstock and they just like shit on it.
I think we could do an episode on Woodstock 99.
I would love to. I would love to watch that. And I have a lot to say about Woodstock 99.
I know all of the there's so many reasons why it went wrong. There are so many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Also featured at the very beginning, and it's been confirmed to be him, is The Miz was attended. So this was 2 years before Real World Back to New York, where he was at.
Yeah.
It's like, you know how there's just so much stock footage of like concert goers? Right. And so it's like a shirtless Miz in the camera. He's like skinny and he's like, Woodstock 99, like one of those. And it's like, then somebody on the internet did some digging because they're like, is that the Miz? And he posted like 5 years ago something about how he went to Woodstock 99 and like blah, 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 blah. And they're like, yeah, that was for sure him.
It's a fucking Miz.
Talk about all my favorite bands at that time and even now. They're all there.
Who opened? Was it Kid Rock? Like opened the show? Well,
it was 3 days. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and there was two different stages, and they had like 100 people. So Kid Rock was one of the guys that performed early. The closers were like, we could definitely do a podcast.
Let's do it. Let's do it next week. Let's give Sandman a week.
This one little note I think you'll enjoy is Friday night before like all the shit had set in, like again, mm-hmm. all the different issues. Korn went on second to last, and in 99 they were probably as popular as they ever were,
right?
And they
was ripped. Follow the Leader just came out, right?
Yeah,
and that album fucking ripped.
They kicked ass. The crowd, yeah, like 200,000 people all going crazy, but it's starting to get kind of violent. And then Bush had to come on after them.
Oh,
and Gavin Rosdale, they interview him, and Rosdale's like, yeah, we were watching it on a monitor in the back, and it was pretty intense. We had to go out there, and he was like kind of afraid it was gonna like turn to shit.
He's but like, all right, you guys like Glycerine? Yeah. And they're like, no,
breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. No, it was good. So anyway, Woodstock 99. So watch both if you have time, both documentaries, so we have more fuel for it. Blackbird came to an end on Apple TV Plus, 6 episodes. Definitely recommend that show. Very good. And I saw at the very beginning of our episode, JT in the chat says that there is I don't know if he started this or not. There's a hashtag dork subreddit page.
I gotta check that out. I will. I might do an AMA. I might do a Reddit AMA if we have one.
If we have one,
thank you, JT, John, for setting that up.
Yeah, somebody started it. I don't know. I assume it was JT. Maybe somebody else. Maybe he found it, or maybe he started it. Either way, so jump over there if you guys are on the Reddit at all. Search it out. Give it a Google. Give it a shot. Give it a bang.
Maybe sometime this week I'll do an AMA. I don't know. I've never done one of those before.
I don't know either. All right. So next week or the week. No. So if the second to last episode is tonight, next Monday is the final episode of Better Call Saul.
Yes.
So that'll be 2 weeks out for us.
Yep.
So next week, do you want to do Woodstock or do you want to
Let's do Woodstock. All right. Let's do Woodstock. We'll skip Sandman. I want people to like really digest Sandman. It's good. But yeah.
All right. Very good. That'll do it for us. Again, you can let us know what you think of Prey or whatever else we discussed during this episode at Dork Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can leave a review on iTunes. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/dorkpodcast. Subscribe there. We stream these episodes every Monday night. And that'll do it. Right, you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
What'd you say?
I said you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
Not really.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.